The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now. On 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle Live in studio, waiting to take your calls on virtually anything you'd like to talk about, as long as it's about your health. Call me, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Perhaps you've had a problem with your health, a challenge that you've tried, you've done everything you can think of and come up with, you know, nothing that really works well. Well, here's an opportunity. Give me a call and see what we can do to put you in a little different direction, make you think about it a little differently, maybe with something that might actually work for change. What a beautiful day in Washington. It finally has broken, meaning the rain, and no, I don't think it's selling any more tickets to the Ark, at least for now. The gates may open again later on this week, but we'll see what happens. You know, maybe we'll get lucky, and these warnings of thunder boomers and so forth that are coming up the rest of the week will go away, and we'll have another couple days like we had yesterday and today. Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing? Listen, we're going to talk about a very important emotional response in the body and how and where it comes from and why you need to be aware, because it could be the bellwether, if you will, for a lot of other things getting much more serious in your body. What we're going to talk about is that organ system that sits just near and above and around your stomach. It's called the liver. And the liver is an important filtering organ, but more than that, it has a lot of different connections. It connects to the heart. It connects to everything that your body has to break down and filter, and we call it denaturing, meaning breaking things down into subcomponents so your body can get rid of it. But what happens when this organ system is overstressed? What happens when it can't do the job the way it's meant to do? Well, lots of things happen that are not very nice. You know, let's talk about a story. And a story is something that is near and dear to my heart because it stayed with me over 35 years since I've been in the Washington metropolitan area. We were with a realtor who's become a friend, and we were on the Washington Capitol Beltway at the time. And this traffic for this particular day was over the top, and we didn't have the 4 and 5 lanes as we do today. And we were exiting on Route 50 on Arlington Boulevard. And this car cut her off. I mean, just came around from like 2 lanes over, cut her off, and almost forced us into the side of, you know, the road, into perhaps a ditch area. And this guy who cut her off throws her the happy bird of paradise. And she doesn't even flinch. And she says, "Tight skin." So here you have two contrasting emotional patterns. You have somebody who is so angry and so upset and in such a rush and in such a hurry, and somebody who is just kind of what appears to be very blasé about, you know, well, this is no big deal. What could be going on here to allow those two people? Is it their training? Is it the way they handle things? Or could it in fact be a physiological problem that is expressing itself differently, meaning there's an emotional state that's associated with that organ, with that situation? Well, what we're talking about is in the relationship to the guy who was so uptight and cut us off and, you know, gave us the Italian salute. This guy was angry. He was upset. He was, you know, expressing that anger. Thank God he didn't have a gun or he didn't have something else, because, you know, we may have had a drive-by shooting of sorts. But here's the other end of it. Here's a woman who was very relaxed and calm and didn't think twice about it and just kind of offered it up to as one of those things that happened. So what's the deal here? Well, I'm going to start by telling you that the organ, the liver, has an emotion, as every other organ in the body does as well. But we're going to talk about the liver today, and what that is anger. It's suppressed, repressed anger. And have you ever had the emotional experience that, for whatever reason, somebody says something, somebody does something, and or you just look at somebody and you get angry. It just all comes up and you're ready to rip their throat out. Fortunately, most of us don't have that experience, but some of us that do, and fortunately, those who do don't take action on that emotion. But I'm going to give you a list of symptoms that you need to think about just a little bit, because it could be a physiological problem with the liver. We know that if the liver isn't working, your body's toxic. If the liver's not working, and because it's from a disease process or something else, you can have a lot of things happening, including tremendous amount of back pain. And then it eats on itself. The back pain produces more liver dysfunction. The liver dysfunction produces more back pain and headaches and so forth. But we could have, you know, as we talked about, this frustration, this anger problem. You know people that kind of exaggerate a problem. We call it hypochondriasis. They make things up in their brain. In the sports world, we call it the loser's limp. You know, it's two athletes. They're running side by side, and they're putting everything out, and just as you get close to the finish line, this one athlete is just about to beat the other, and the other one kind of pulls up with a hamstring pull or a problem in the leg, and he says, well, the reason I lost was because I got this cramp. Well, we call that a loser's limp. You end up with oppression or chest pressure. You can get a lump in your throat, you know, that proverbial lump in the throat. Your abdomen will distend, particularly when you have any kind of liver disease or pathology. The liver will swell, and the abdominal area, the lymphatic drainage associated with it, will also congest. And you look like, even guys, you're about 6 months pregnant and you're not. You know, we can have symptoms of loss of libido, irritation, depression, premenstrual problems go through the ceiling, ladies. And by the way, if you past that stage of life and you're into menopausal patterns or premenopausal patterns, they become much worse. We could have diarrhea, or conversely, we could have constipation, because the liver is involved in peristalsis of the intestinal tract. So one or the other could take place. You could have a bitter taste in your mouth. It just almost tastes like an infection, but it's not. And, you know, you could have belching all the time, burping. My granddaughters do it like truck drivers. It's unbelievable. I look at them, I said, who are you anyway? No, but seriously, that's associated with liver problems. Diarrhea. And it's diarrhea that can be intermittent. It can be explosive. It happens after you eat something. Your nails can get cracked, and they're dry, and they can get very brittle, if you will. Your vision becomes more affected. Floaters in your eyes. You know, when you kind of look at a white wall and you move your head and you see all these things floating around, floaters are associated often with liver dysfunction, and your eyes can get extremely dry. The cracking of the outer sclera, the cornea and so forth, that can be affected because of the liver. If the liver's not clear and you're putting things in that your body can't handle, that's one of the things. And then these outbursts, you know, it's like you explode, you're bundled all up, and all of a sudden, boom, it goes. And by the way, ringing of the ear, and it's usually a high-pitched ringing, headaches, very dull, sick-like headaches. And sometimes it's just right at the back of your head and feels like it's going through your eye, or vice versa, migraineous types of headaches. So what we're talking about is this thing, and also feeling stuck. You know, you're like, I can't move forward. You know, my life's not going anywhere. I'm here, but there's nothing I can do about it. It's feeling stuck. It's feeling that you have no direction in life, that you're not able to move in one direction or the other. So these are all symptoms, believe it or not, of that organ system called liver when it's not working. And now remember that the liver, this organ, like any other organ in the body, has nerves that go to it, and they come from the back. And also, by the way, that old wanderer nerve of ours, you know, the vagus nerve, that also touches the liver. So you have a couple different components as well. You have acupuncture energy that goes to that area, but it's affected by many things, and it affects other things as well. The liver produces bile, and the gallbladder stores the bile. But if there's sluggishness in any of the ducts that move away from, then that bile often gets stuck in the liver and causes problems. If you're a drinker, if you, you know, coffee, a lot of you say, well, coffee is good for me because I heard it on the news and they said so on the internet. Well, coffee can be okay, but it can also be very poisonous. Why? Because coffee is very acidic, and unless it's organic and you know it's non-GMO produced, you're going to get all the pesticides that are sprayed on these coffee beans. And they don't think for 1 minute they're taking all the safeguards that they need to take them off so you get a nice, clean, ground coffee. They don't. And now with the high acidity in the system, now your liver is under stress. So if you're going to drink coffee, there's things to do. I mean, you got to make sure your water is alkaline. You get organic Kona coffee, and you make sure you drink a lot of water, because even at the end of the day, it's still very dehydrating, if you will. So as you can see, there's a wide variety of different symptoms that point to the liver not working the way it's supposed to. So a lot of times when we just don't feel good, when we feel sluggish, when we hurt, when our joints ache, it has to do with the liver. But at the end of the day, what caused it to occur? Was it the liver that's causing the body ache and spinal pain and headaches and so forth? Or is it opposite? Can the spinal system cause the liver, because it's the electrical system of the body, cause it not to work properly? You need to think about it. I have a young friend who told me that when he's in school, often he feels he goes to a gathering of some sort, and for no reason whatsoever, he feels like he wants to engage in an argument or a fight physically with somebody else. That's not normal. And when you have those feelings, you notice that there's something other if you look very quietly. By the way, take a look at your nose. If you look at the nose and you see the nose is red or irritated or has blemishes or starting to enlarge, that's a liver sign. That's telling you that your liver's not working the way it needs to work, and you need to really pay attention. And they usually see that with people who are, you know, drinking on a regular basis, and not even alcoholism. It's just that you're drinking, your body can't handle it because your liver's toxic from other areas, and it starts backing up, and it portrays it on your face. Your face is the mirror of everything that's going on inside your body. You start looking at the eyes, and the eyes get dark, and the liver get, and the nose gets irritated, and it gets red, and there's this fullness, there's this swelling, where it doesn't happen necessarily any place else. How about your big toe? How many of you have these irritations on your big toe? You know, the area that we often refer to as the gouty area of the body? Well, that's where the liver acupuncture energy starts. It's on the big toe, and it moves all the way up and finally ends on the chest. But we have to look at both excesses and deficiencies. Deficiency from the liver, from other external pathogenic situations, you know, like hepatitis, can cause a lot of these things that we're talking about. So expressing our emotions often can help that if we do it honestly and we clear it. By the way, remember structural, chemical, emotional? Well, we're talking about all three sides today. But I want you to understand that that back pain and that headache that you may have on a regular basis that just doesn't go away, that you keep compounding the irritation because you keep taking medications for, could be a result directly of liver not working the way it's supposed to, either too much or too little. And we're going to get into that very specifically. I'm going to walk you through it. But listen, here's the end of the day, is that the liver has many different responsibilities in the body. So keeping it healthy and happy is something that we all have to look at. And that may be having to change some of our lifestyle. Yep, I said it. You may have to change some of the things that you're doing to protect yourself so you can live longer, you don't explode, you don't have those raging emotions. Think about that for a few minutes. We're coming up to a break. We have to stop and listen to a couple of those people who bring you this program. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozell. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozell Live. I'm in studio, and it's a beautiful day outside, and I'm going to enjoy this afternoon. It's absolutely gorgeous. Give me a call, 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you today on anything that you have on your mind relative to your health. Talking about this little organ system called the liver, and it's not so little, and its impact throughout the body is extensive. Everything from filtration to breaking hormones down so your body can go back into loop and produce more of them, to filtering everything that you can possibly think of. But it also has, as we talked about earlier, an emotional side. Yes, it does. It has an emotional side, but it's an emotional side that if it gets out of control, you don't want to have to deal with. And it's called anger, explosiveness. You know, you want to reach in and grab somebody and beat them, and they didn't do anything to you, and it triggers that. But, you know, the liver itself is responsible for the movement and flow, the even flow of blood in the body. You thought it was the heart, didn't you? Well, the heart pumps it, but the liver helps deliver it. It helps the even flow throughout the system. You know, we talked about the liver's got a partner, right? It's called the gallbladder. So the two of them are in balance, and it's the organ that's the most affected by excess stress or emotion. So any emotion in excess, any stress in excess is going to affect the liver and gallbladder function. But we're talking about the liver because that thing, that organ, that's in your body, middle of your body, controls so many different things. As we said, it's responsible for delivering the blood supply. It has a relationship to your liver, or your eyes, I'm sorry. It has association with the tendons, the ropey things that hold all the joint spaces together and attach muscles to the bone. You know, the strength of your tendons come not from the muscles, but from this organ system called the liver. If the liver's not working, it's because what you're going to see is that these tendons are going to be very brittle. Sometimes they're going to break. They're going to snap. You get tears very quickly, particularly in rotator cuffs, you know, in the shoulders, things in the knees and so forth. They start breaking down. So you get somebody who's a drinker, even if they're not a heavy drinker, but they're a chronic drinker, somebody who does a little bit of street drugs, if you will, somebody who is taking medication on a regular basis. Those things have to be filtered through the liver, and they ultimately affect the tendons and the muscles and the strength of the body and so forth. The taste that corresponds, you know, as we talked about earlier, is sourness. You know, it's kind of a sour, kind of bitter taste in the mouth. You know, if you crave sour foods, it may be that your liver is trying to tell you something. It said, give me something. You know, you want more of a sweet type of thing in your body. You have to make sure that, you know, you check that organ system out and take a look at your lifestyle. But we talked about that emotion, that anger that's associated with it. And by the way, these are things that you really need to be able to know about. And if you get my book, by the way, Ageless Health, Health is a Do-It-Yourself Program, there's a breakdown of all the different organs and their emotions and so forth. So, you know, you got to learn how to calm this thing down, and you have to avoid the things that are going to be toxic to your body when it comes to that. If we get into, you know, the medical pieces on the liver, you know, they basically tell you, well, the liver here is, you know, it's susceptible to cirrhosis, but they, you know, there's a lot of things that can make the liver cirrhotic. But if you begin to read through, you see that the liver is susceptible to many things. By the way, the number one cause of liver failure, is acetaminophen, Tylenol. And people who are taking Tylenol on a daily basis, they increase their risk of liver shutting down. And when that happens, guess what other organ system is affected? It's the heart. Unfortunately, in my world, my mother, who was trying to handle a pneumonia at one point, ended up with heart shutting down because of liver problems. And some of these old Italian ladies used to have a little brandy and coffee, like many of us did. But next to it, she had a bottle of cold Tylenol, which was acetaminophen. The combination of the two caused her liver not to work properly, which suppressed her heart, which caused her to leave us. And it happens on a regular basis. How many people are put in nursing homes and they're given Tylenol on a day-to-day basis to decrease inflammation and decrease their pain? Subsequently, what happens is that the combination of this and other drugs, they end up dying, but first their emotional patterns. You see people in nursing homes, they get angry. They explode, and for no reason. It seems like their personality has completely changed. We're going to get in, and we're going to talk about liver complications in patients with congestive heart failure, and we're going to talk a little bit about the interaction between the heart and the liver as the program goes on. This is really an important topic. give me a call, 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. We're coming up to the halfway part of the program. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I'm in the studio. It's gorgeous outside. So after the program, let's all go out and go for a nice long walk, find a park someplace, and let's just enjoy the day. Because you know what? It's supposed to start this nonsense again coming up. But you know, we're going to keep our fingers crossed, and we're going to pray to the sun god, and we're going to make sure that the sun stays stable. And this is just a warning that they're playing with. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you on any subject. We're talking about the liver and how it affects multiple systems in the body. And it's important that you understand that sometimes our finger's in the mix, you know, and when it comes to our health and how we feel, and we gave you a whole litany of different types of symptoms that are associated, you know, with the liver, everything from anger to constipation or diarrhea, premenstrual problems, any kind of hormonal problems. Libido, guys, by the way, if your liver's not working, you're not working either. I don't care what you take. It's not going to happen. You know, dry, cracked nails, you know, they start breaking. Blurred vision, floaters, you know, your eyes get really, really dry and they start cracking. You know, bloodshot eyes walking around all the time. Your nose looks like, well, we won't talk what it looks like, but it gets nice and red. Sensation that you got somebody standing on your chest, feels like a heart attack. Well, there's reasons for that. And even the place where you're exaggerating symptoms sometimes, you're not doing it on purpose. You're truly not doing it on purpose. It's the emotional interlink, but this anger piece, you know, this like, you want to strangle some fool and, you know, make sure that they never do it again. That has to do with the liver. That has to do with the liver. It's amazing what takes place. I want to go to the phones. Judith, good question. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing fine, Dr. Rozelle. I was listening to your program, and there's been something going through my mind, and I think perhaps you can give me an answer.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm aware of a very young child, 2.5 to 3.5, I'll guess, age-wise, was given Tylenol frequently in order to make the child sleep. And when I found out about it, I was really disturbed.
You should be.
I heard that. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. I'm just commenting. You should be.
I heard that the pediatrician who saw her and learned of this actually told the parents, particularly the mother, to stop doing that. My question is this. I believe she did stop doing that. However, that little child now is approaching being a teenager. She complains of heartburn. She complains of acid reflux occasionally. And I'm just wondering, could that be something that was set into motion?
It's very possible. You'd have to look at a lot of different things. So, you know, interesting that you bring that up. I'm giving a presentation to about 150 doctors down in Florida in 2 weeks. And mm-hmm. It's on gastrointestinal problems. And here's the situation when it comes to heartburn and things that affect digestive function. Can it be liver function? You bet. Can it be something that's predisposed because of other things that have happened before that, like Tylenol? Yes, absolutely. Because now the liver can't work. It's sluggish. It's backed up. Now, if you superimpose that with other things, wrong types of diets, sodas, sugars, fast-acting carbohydrates, all these are inflammatory to the system. Now, the liver has to deal with it. But here's a situation where the liver has been messed up, and now you're putting other things that are just as irritating in combinations, if you will. And so now as a child gets older, you're going to start seeing much more serious situations with acne. You're going to see joint spaces that are swollen and hurtful. They're going to complain of, you know, these growing pains. Growing pains, by the way, can be just not enough calcium for the rate of growth and mm-hmm. the inability of the body to get rid of toxins. But in fact, yes, this could be part of it. But when you look at heartburn, when you look at gastritis, when you look at those things, you've got to look at diet. You have to look at, you know, the exposures there at that time, but it doesn't mean that there's not an underlying predisposition. So the short answer to your question is yes, in fact, it could be associated with that. But in addition to that, what is their current, you know, lifestyle? What are they putting in their bodies? And
absolutely.
So forth.
That's been on my mind. And in talking with you just now, it also made me realize that perhaps 9 months ago or so, she was diagnosed with low iron in her blood, and they put her on iron tablets.
That's liver. She's not getting.
Could that have been set up by the Tylenol abuse so many years ago?
It can be, but again, you would have to look at everything around the child as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's the diet like? And so, most kids today have diets that are so deficient. And it's because mm-hmm. they're getting catch-as-catch-can. They're going out and they're grabbing this. You know, they're eating carbohydrates. They'd rather have a bag of chips than eat a salad. So they're not getting the things that they need to have in their body. So the underlying situation is, yes, both. Was there a predisposition? More than likely, absolutely yes. So,
okay.
You know, it's...
Can the liver heal itself from Tylenol abuse?
Yes, particularly when you're young. You know, as we get older, here's my premise of life. As long as you're breathing, you can fix things.
Okay,
the body begins to change cells and repair things on an ongoing basis. It is rare that we can't change tissue and change function and capacity. You either, here's what happens, what we see in the practice. Patient is unwilling because they'd have to give up and change things, or they don't have enough time left on the earth to get full resolution and full completion. Make sense?
Mm-hmm. That's... Mm-hmm. Yes.
Judith,
does.
Thank you for your call. I really appreciate it. It's right on target, and that's exactly what we're talking about. 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. This is an important conversation, and we don't realize that our choices, the distinctions that we make relative to what we support our body with, what we expose our bodies to, have an impact not only into our overall health, but our emotional patterns and state. You know, we haven't gotten into all the organs, but for example, the emotional platform for your kidney energetically has to do with your ability to be courageous or fearful. And in Eastern medicine, the kidney is the source of life. That's where all your primary energy, and it makes a little sense because your adrenal glands, your fight flight system, sit on top of the kidney. So in Western medicine, you know, when we talk about strong constitution, somebody's strong and they have the capacity to move forward and kind of get through everything. It's the same system that we're talking about. So as it begins to deplete over time, if we stress ourselves out, we beat ourselves up, we internalize emotions and so forth, that fight flight system doesn't work the way it's supposed to. So when you see an older person after years, they're not as courageous or brave as they used to be when they were younger. They're more fearful. And a lot of that association is directed that way. But when we're seeing, you know, these organ systems portray themselves in the case of the liver, and the first thing I do when somebody complains of back pain or headaches and so forth, I start asking them, how many inoculations have you had in your life? Why is inoculations of vaccine so important? Because the liver's got to break it down. The liver is going to help store the metal, the mercury, the aluminum that are in many of these inoculants, and they cause problems, you know, and they tie neurological systems up and they break down immunological reactions. They cause the intestinal. Where have you been? What exposures have you had? You know, what's living in your intestinal environment? Your intestine's 85% of your immune system. And a lot of these things, you know, have an effect because they go into the body and they cause inflammatory cascades that have to do with what? Liver function. So this organ system, liver, is subject to a lot of slings and arrows from a lot of different places, but it also, to be able to survive, has to have a physiological balance, if you will, that will allow it to do what its job is. What is its job? It's to break down hormones. It's detoxify all kinds of foods. Even good foods have to go through the liver. It has to deal with the things that we breathe in our body. It still has to go through the liver. It has to do with the things that we put on our skins, all the emollients and the hormones. Ladies, if you're using skincare creams, many of them have estrogens in them. So, you know, there's that piece of it. Norma, thank you for calling in. How can I help you?
Yes, I'm interested in the connection with the heart and the liver.
Okay, we will talk. Do you have a specific
automobile accident that injured the three ribs on the right, which is where the liver is, should the liver be considered as part of diagnostic?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a diagnostic criteria in my field called injury recall. And what that really means is just kind of an umbrella statement that means that any injury that you had, unless it's fully resolved, sometimes neurologically the body remembers the injury, so it continues a recidivistic pattern, and it can cause that organ or that system to be less functional. So when you deal with anything like that, you can continue having rib pain that should have been resolved years ago because the memory of the bone has held that impact, and it's not because the bone is broken or the periosteum, the covering around the bone, the fascia around the bone is torn or so forth. It's neurologically the memory is still there. So subsequently, whether you get a blow right in the chest directly or you get a blow to the side where the liver is, in the back where the kidney is, yes, you can have a weakness, if you will, energetically and physiologically to that system. I'll give you an example. There was a gentleman that came into the practice, relatively recently, and he had an emotional piece that I picked up on examination. And the emotional piece was triggered when I touched a very specific area in his chest. And it was very light, maybe 2-3 pounds of palpation over the sternum. And I found out that years before this, and this going back maybe 15, 18 years or so, he was shot. And he was on duty, as a law enforcement officer, and was shot. There was no injury, recovered completely from that. But the emotional trigger, the injury, injury recall was still embedded there. And there are certain things that showed up. So we've been able to deal with a lot of that for him because there's ways of releasing those things and allowing the pain patterns. Now you can actually get the system to heal. So yes, in fact, absolutely, there's that. So when you have liver-heart relationships, if you injure the liver and the liver's not working the way it's supposed to, then it can cause the heart not to work because we said earlier that the liver is responsible for the smooth delivery, if you will, of blood throughout the body. So if the liver can't work the way it's supposed to, and the liver has many, many, many different responsibilities, then the heart is not going to work properly. And we know, and it's well known, you can look it up in any medical site, you can say, liver's effect on the heart. And just simply do that, and you're going to see, yes, in fact, that the liver has tremendous relationships, to the heart, and it can be one of the things that causes swelling. It can cause the heart to go into failure. It can cause, blood pressures to start rising up because the heart doesn't have the capacity to push. So multiple pieces. Go ahead. Go ahead, Norma.
Could it cause AFib?
Oh, absolutely. It sure can.
If I have aortic,
yeah,
it's failing.
Yeah, it could be any of those things. Now, am I going to give you an absolute answer? No, because I don't know your body well. But let me relate it this way to you. When you don't have enough nutrient bases, magnesium is one of the primary nutrients for the liver for detoxification pathways. And the heart needs magnesium to allow the muscle to work. Coenzyme Q10 can be depleted for a lot of different reasons, and the liver can be one of those things that is stealing things. When that happens, your heart's going to go into fibrillation, and it can be a ventricular fib or it can be an atrial fibrillation. So when we look at those things, remember in programs in the past, if you've listened, I've talked about the heart relative to major inputs. It has the vagus nerve, our wanderer. It has nerves from the spine, and then it has its pacemaker within the heart itself. Now, that's just the electrical system. So if any of those neurological pathways are irritated, challenged, depleted in any way, they have pressure on them, the heart's not going to get its normal electrical push. Now, in addition to that, you have to look at the physiology. We're going to look at coenzyme Q10. We're going to look at magnesium. We're going to look at potassium. We're going to look at the balance of salts. And those things are necessary as well. And if they're not there, the heart can go into erratic firing that we call atrial fibrillation. We look at low levels of vitamin E and vitamin B when it comes to the heart as well. Those are depleted, by the way, with liver toxicity. So you're looking at a broad breadth of all kinds of things. And so the question becomes, and by the way, blood sugar handling is going to have a major effect on the heart as well. So you have to look at a lot of different pieces of the puzzle. But in fact, you look at the drugs, you look at, the exposures, you look at all these things, and also then the stress patterns. Think what happens if you're angry all the time. It's going to affect that internal mechanism of your heart. It's going to affect the blood vessels. It's going to affect the blood flow. You have to be able to get to a place of just emotional quiet, if you will, and to be able to release those things. But if the liver is toxic, if the liver is irritated, it's not working the way it's supposed to, you can't release them. The body won't allow you to do that. Norma, I hope that helps just a little bit. I appreciate your phone call. This is a subject actually we could talk. I need to do a whole presentation on cardiovascular disease that relates to all these things and liver function and pain patterns that are associated with it, because it's like, what came first, the chicken or the egg with these things? And that's the disquieting piece. Liver pain is often felt in the upper right area of the stomach area, just below the ribs. And it's usually dull, and it's kind of a vague pain. And sometimes it's, people think that it's a gastric pain, but it also can go to the shoulder. It goes to the right shoulder. You know how the heart goes to the left shoulder? This goes to the right. And by the way, it's not always. Sometimes the heart goes to the right. And so you have to be able to judge it. I had a professor when I was in professional school that said, when you think of heart problems, upper left chest pain and so forth, think of the liver and gallbladder. When you think of digestive dysfunction, think of the heart. So it's, what he was saying is that nothing is always, and you have to be able to have your wits about you to be able to put the things together. So just to say, take these two aspirin and call me in the morning can be problematic when there are other systems that may be involved in the process. So, you have to be able to distinguish. Where's that back pain coming from? How about that headache that I've got? And now, by the way, remember the loop pattern, organ, muscle, muscle, organ? Now we have a real structural problem that can become significant over a period of time. So we have to get that divining right out, and we have to be able to synthesize where the problem's initiated from. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle live, as you do every Sunday at 12 noon on the Eastern Seaboard. And those of you who are around the country that listen to us on a regular basis, do the math. You know where you are. We appreciate that so very much. You have no idea. And again, thank you for listening. And we're talking about our men and women in service. You are a necessary part of our freedoms of this country. We do appreciate it. And the Rozelle Center for Healing will do everything that we possibly can to support you as well. Interesting program today. We're talking about that organ system that causes anger. And, I'm going to give you a little bit of a guide of how to handle some of this. And it's important, because if you really think that it doesn't have an impact in your emotional state and when you get irritated and you get angry. And by the way, God forbid that you suppress it and you put it in your back pocket. But, when you're angry, you got to be able to put it out there in the right place, because it ain't okay to go punch somebody in the face. You've got to be able to get rid of that. Sometimes exercise is the best thing you can possibly do. Go get some exercise. Get rid of that frustration. Start eating properly. Remember, if it's green, it's good. If it's not, I would be very careful what you put in your body. Clean meats, and make sure they're free-ranged organic. In this part of the world, meaning in Western society, most everything today is GMO modified, and you have to make sure that it's not. So, just as a rule of thumb, a lot of fresh water on a day-to-day basis. Try to get alkalizing water as best you possibly can. You need to have how much? At least half of your body weight in ounces in water. What you should be drinking besides that? How about some green tea? Get some organic green tea. It's one of the best antioxidants and suppressors of inflammation that you can possibly utilize. And you can have 3, 4, 5 cups a day if you want to. It's not a problem. Green tea is good for you. It's alkalizing. And, there are other things that are not. How about black tea? No. Don't forget my mantra. Things to stay away from. Sugars, sodas, coffee, black teas, fast food, fried foods, alcohol, gluten, additives, preservatives, GMO products. don't do it. And stay away from fried stuff, too, by the way. It's not something that when you put in your system. You know, if you want to clear the system out a little bit, there are things that you can do. You can go to the health food store and pick up a natural source of milk thistle and artichoke, things of that nature. Ascorbic acid, which is basically vitamin C, and get that into your system on a day-to-day regular basis. Those things work. Vitamin B complex, which will help metabolize most of everything. Alpha lipoic acid. And I can't tell you dosage just because I'm not your physician, but I can guide you to tell you you need to learn how to take care of yourself. There's things out there like curcumin, you know, which helps support liver tissue and colon health in the body and also decreases inflammation in your joint spaces. So there's many different things, and there's many more. There's things that we use that have a very significant impact, but you also have to check the structural components. If your spine is not working the way it's supposed to, your liver can't hope to work. If you have other areas that are toxic, if your intestinal tract's not working, your liver is getting the burden of that, and you're going to end up with all kinds of problems, including heart problems as a result of that liver being toxic. And we haven't even begun to touch on the kidney, because whatever affects the liver will also affect the kidney. They are both organs of filtration and have similar nutritional needs and demands that you have to be aware of. So, you know, Dr. Tom Rozelle Live is about bringing you information that you need to have to begin your own personal research. You need to understand the Rozelle Center for Healing is there to help you, is to, you know, get you going in the direction, put your body back on a platform that makes difference in your longevity, the quality of your life that you deserve, that you were given as a birthright. That's why we do the program. That's why we do this program every Sunday without fail. And we have some brilliant people who are here helping that process. We're coming up to the end of the program. We'll be here next week. I'll see you then. I love you all.